Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Stan Freberg is a well-known man for his parodies of the popular crime show Dragnet. And in these parodies, of course, the police detective is always trying to get to the bottom of a crime. And to do so, he's always asking for just the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. We like just the facts, don't we? Indeed, it would seem the greatest virtue in our society is to trust the cold, hard evidence, just the facts. But also, unfortunately, these facts have become something that are unnecessarily opposed to faith. As if facts aren't something that we trust. As if anything in the realm of faith should automatically be chalked up to fiction. But this is not so for the Christian. For the Christian, fact and faith aren't so distinctly separated. And to see that, just look at our text from Romans chapter 5. Here, Paul is just giving us the facts. In these 11 verses, Paul doesn't make a single exhortation. He's not asking you or telling you to do a single thing. He's just stating what is the case. And he gives us just the facts in order that we would trust them, have faith in them for the truth that they are. So the facts are these. You are justified, declared righteous, perfect, holy, pure. You are justified by faith in the promises of God. And lest you think that that faith is something that you have accomplished, well, just read chapters 3 and 4 of Romans, where Paul establishes that even that faith is a gift and promise, the work of God. Another fact is that because of that justification that God has worked for you, you now have peace with God through Jesus Christ and nothing else. Not your hard work, not your good intentions, not the sincerity of your heart, not the intensity of your devotion, but simply through Christ. Well, how does this peace with God happen? Because of the fact that Christ dies for ungodly people. Indeed, he can die for no other kind of person. The fact is that God demonstrates his love for us like this, that Christ died for us while we were still sinful, objects of his wrath, his natural-born enemies. These are just the facts. And yet even we find these facts hard to believe. These truths that Paul has laid out for us seem too good to be true. These truths are downright scandalous. So scandalous, in fact, that upon hearing them, we want to go to work trying to figure out what to add to them. So we're even tempted to say something like, well, yes, all of that is true, but... All of that is true, but, I mean, don't you have to accept this wonderful gift? Which is just something we say so that we can hold on to some semblance of our own participation in our salvation. Or we say something like, yeah, all of that's true, but certainly God's love doesn't extend to the worst of the worst, right? Which is just something we say so that we can play the compare and compete game and deceive ourselves into thinking that we're not the worst of the worst. Or we say something like, well, yeah, all of that's true, but certainly God is more pleased with people who really mean it or are fully committed Christ followers or are totally sold out to Jesus. The devil is in the qualifiers. How do you know you really mean it, or are fully committed, or are totally sold out for Christ? Not only that, consider how in our sin we often default to living our daily lives. So often we live as if these facts are not true. We go about our days constantly wondering whether or not we have made God happy, or maybe we've disappointed him, as if he's looking down, seeing what decisions we're making, and then keeping track, probably more often than not, just shaking his head in disappointment. See, all of these ways of thinking deny the facts. The beautiful, life-giving, liberating facts that Paul has just laid out, that God is fully 100% pleased with you, happy with you, elated with you, not because of you, but despite you. Not for anything you have done or anything you haven't done, but purely because Christ has died for ungodly people like you. And brought peace with God. Period. So there's nothing, nothing that you can do to make God love you any less. Nothing that you can do to make God love you any more. And to disbelieve these facts, I promise, will only lead to pride or despair. Pride, thinking that you're actually pulling off this keeping God happy with you thing. Or despair, knowing in your heart that you're not pulling it off, no matter how well you can fool everyone around you. You see, these facts are so hard for us to believe because this pure, full-blown gospel, which asks nothing of you, it puts a knife to the neck of our program of self-justification. It strips you of any ability to claim that you had anything to do with your own salvation, and therefore strips you of the ability to compare yourself to others, to see how they stack up against you or how you stack up against them. You see, if we have even the slightest contribution to make to our salvation, whether it's our good works or our acceptance of Christ or even the seemingly pious sincerity of our heart, which is hogwash, if you bring anything of your own to affect your salvation, then we don't actually have a gospel to proclaim. All we have is another pride-creating or despair-inducing, works-based rat wheel program of self-righteousness that cannot and will not save. I mean, this gospel fact is so scandalous that our sinful flesh hears it and it cries out, "Foul! You're telling me that I can do then whatever I want." And the gospel scandalously replies, "Of course. Now that you've been set free from sin, death, and the devil, what do you want to do?" So, dear friends, to hell with your good works. If you would use them to make God happy with you. For to do such a thing is to live in a fictional fairy tale, which ignores the facts, and even worse, makes null and void the very cross of Jesus. So rather, let's put away this fiction that our sinful flesh thrives on, this fiction which would tell us that to make God happy and to keep him happy, we'd better get our act together and get to work. Rather, let's just have the facts that God demonstrates his love for you in this. Not that he foreknew that you would one day hear the gospel and make a positive decision for him. Not that he saw the supposed good intentions or the sincerity of your heart or the total commitment to him. Not that he kept a record of your good deeds or your bad deeds and saw if the good ones weighed out the bad ones. Not that he gave you the benefit of the doubt. No, God demonstrates his love for you like this and only like this. That while you were still sinful, wretched, impoverished, while you were still hateful, ungodly, wicked, and prideful, while you were trying your hardest to save yourself, basically telling God that you didn't need him, while you had a bazooka in your hand with God in the crosshairs and your finger on the trigger, while you were like that, Christ dies for you. See, because of him and him alone, you have peace with God. so that he sees you and he sees nothing but his perfect, righteous, beloved, washed in the blood of Jesus, child. His child who can do nothing to make him love you anymore, nothing to make him love you any less. It's just the facts. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.